Ladies and gentlemen, it's Round the Horn.
And welcome to the show. First, some corrections. In last week's recipe, I should have said half a tin of red peppers. And not half a ton. And I also told you to add enough curry powder to cover a table. Ah, oh, dear, should have been a tablespoon, of course. It's a slip of the tongue that any of you could have made, assuming you've got any tongues left. Well, I hope I've cleared that up. I shall try not to make any more mistakes today, because later in the program, I shall be giving you this week's cookery tip called Baked Deans on Toast. And finally, a useful household hint sent in by Mrs. Ada Mole Biscuit of Jubilee Buildings, Park Lane, Mayfair. It's a simple way of making the box room, that small box room, look larger, and you just paper it with thinner wallpaper. Now, the only man with an extra mileage ingredient in his midriff bulge, Douglas Smith. Announce the next item, Smith.
Sir, the Round the Horn Forum of the Air.
Oh, yes, the spot where we invite people to phone in and unburden themselves. And here's the first corner. Hello. Sorry, I can't hear you. Would you mind breathing up a bit? Oh, hello, Mr. Gunfuttock.
Hello. I have something which I feel should be brought out into the light of day.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
I wish to complain about the current craze for embossed Victorian door furniture knobs to you.
And you.
Thank you. Anyway, I'm going to protest. I'm open. I am hoping to demonstrate with Vanessa Redgrave. Fancy a demonstration.
Yes, quite so. Are you going to hold it in Trafalgar Square?
That depends on the weather. What I want to know is, can I have your support?
No. You jolly well buy your own. Hello?
Tell me something. Is Kenneth Williams a pseudonym?
Well, not as... not as far as we know. There have been rumours, of course.
You see, Mr. Horn, I used to go to school with a chubby-cheeked little rascal who looked like him. Of course, this was in 1892. Could it be the same man?
Well, I doubt it. Not in 1892, because Kenneth Williams had already left school by then. I'm sorry.
It's a disgrace.
And now, via the radio link, an on-the-spot report from Gerald Monkshabit in Antarctica. And I must apologise in advance for the poor quality of the reception once again.
Hello, this is Gerald Monkshabit speaking to you from the frozen tundra of Antarctica. The latest polar expedition has just in the Weddell Sea. It's so cold here that our have frozen to the packing cases. It's been 4 days now since we put our through the tent flaps. Because outside you simply can't see your in front of your and with that I return you to the studio.
Thank you, Gerald Monkshabit. And now in the studio, all the way from shark-infested beaches of South Kensington, Miss Judy Coolibar.
Too right, sport. Keep your distance. I've got my police whistle ready.
Yes, yes. Well, now, shall we carry on? I'll rephrase that. Shall we continue? Now, what are you working on now?
I'm working in a menswear shop. It's disgusting. One fella come up to me. Here, can I try on a pair of trousers in the window? He says, well, I wasn't having that.
No.
What? 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 Too right. I give him a quick karate chop in the throat. Didn't get any more customers in that day.
Oh, things were slack.
What do you mean by that?
No, it's all right. Nothing. All nothing.
Now then, listen, Mr. Horn, you'd hardly believe this. I found a bit of cardboard attached to a sweater with obscene printing on it. Large gents, it said, and you all know what that means.
Ah, that was just the ticket.
It may be just the ticket to you, but I think it's disgusting.
Well, thank you, Judy Coolibar. And whatever you do, don't let them get you down. Well, I think it was the French historian Pierre Chaminard who said, Le pays tombera et tout le monde sera transfixé par la plume de ma tante. So I'm going to give you a song, I think, which has been allocated to me for some obscure reason with Max Harris at the piano. We'll have a bash, Max. Here we go. Of a marvellous hair razor, Thatcher, I'll sing.
Bravo!
'Twill grow hair upon any and everything.
Everything?
Well, more or less. If your hearth rug's worn out, put some Thatcher on quick. In the morn, 'twill be covered with hair a foot thick.
Nice.
Dropped on wood, 'twill make brushes. Put some on your nut.
You what?
Nut. Though it's bald in 5 minutes, you'll want your hair cut.
Say that again.
So hairless bounder, raise your glass in praise that Thatcho came to pass. Oh, Thatcho, oh, Thatcho, rejoice ye bald and weary men, you'll soon be regular hairy men. Sing for joy, let your voices go. Sprinkle some on your cranium, Thatcho, what-ho. Dropped on string, 'twill make boas for ladies to wear.
Yes, comes lovely with your boas.
One drop grows a settee on an old Windsor chair.
Ah, fancy.
A hair mattress 'twill make of a sheet, so 'tis said.
You make your bed, you lie on it, man.
All right. It won't wash clothes, and it ain't nice to spread on your bread.
Can you tell it from butter?
Well, sometimes, yes. Just a drop fell on baby next day on my life. He was shaving himself with an old putty knife.
Yes.
So, thatchless babes in Thatcho revel, you'll all have hair like Jimmy Savile. Oh, Thatcho! Oh, Thatcho! Rejoice, ye bald and weary men, you'll soon be regular hairy men.
Sing for joy,
let your voices go, sprinkle some on your cranium, and go, whoa, whoa. Thank you, Ducky.
Nice.
Oh, thank you.
And now, movie go wrong. Forward, Smith.
Sir, Hornographic Productions, in association with the official receiver, proudly present Apache Story.
You can cancel my reservation for a start.
My name is Sitting Duck. I'm the wise old chief of the Apache Nation. When the herds of buffalo were here, the land was covered with plenty. But since they've gone, there's since they've gone, there's hardly any. Food is scarce since the pale faces came. The young men of my tribe are rumbling, and their tom-toms can be heard for miles.
All right, go.
I say fight the white man. I shall paint my face and strike terror into their hearts.
You're a hot-haired young Billy Two-Cheeks.
Yes.
I say we should speak softly and seek a negotiated settlement, setting aside such sanguine sentiments.
Ear, he speaks with forked tongue.
No, carry on, rain in the face.
Thank you, sir. I say we must all work to extinguish the fires of war.
You're doing pretty well on your own, aren't you? Well, thank you, gentlemen. I think that concludes the annual general powwow. I rose and went to look for my daughter, little sagebrush flower which grows beside the sparkling waters, or, as I call her for short, Gladys.
Daddy will be looking for me, Billy Two Cheeks. I don't care. No, I don't care. I'm content to sit here and watch you. What are you doing?
I am hunting for the water otter.
You mean the kettle?
Yes. Oh, here it is. Let's have a nice cup of tea.
Oh, you have strange ways, Billy. You are different from other braves. Is it true that you are one of them? A pale face.
Yes, it's true. This tribe abducted me from a blazing log cabin when I was a baby. My parents had escaped. I was brought up as an Apache. I am an Apache. Well, that's enough plot. Let's get on with the laugh. I intend to attack the fort with a small band behind me.
Who?
The Max Harris group. They frighten the life out of anybody. Little do the pale faces in the fort know what is in store for them.
The scene shifts to Fort Smith. Played with impeccable timing by you-know-who. I'm girt by rough-hewn logs and watchful eyes scan the plains through my aperture. In my time, I've beaten off many attacks. I'm known as the biggest fort in the business.
No comment. In his quarters, General Ironsides Cuspidor is speaking.
I tell you, Lieutenant, there's only one language these Indians understand. Brute force.
It's all right, sir. I speak it fluently. Tell me, sir, why do you hate the Apaches so?
Well, the reason goes back 20 years, Lieutenant. I was in a log cabin when the wild Apaches attacked and set it on fire. I had a baby, Lieutenant.
Well, fear attacks a man in different ways.
An Apache Indian kidnapped that baby. You know, I can still remember the golden ringlets and the little chubby cheeks. Baby was quite pretty, too. Well, what's that noise?
We're being attacked by a gramophone record.
You're right. It's Indians. Close the gates. Man the ramparts. Don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes.
They're attacking with their eyes shut, sir.
Cunning devils. By George, just look at those Apaches. Wave after wave after wave.
It's no use, sir. I'm going to wave back.
All that day, the attack continued. The lieutenant's wife was struck by a tomahawk.
Oh, there's a nice tomahawk.
But finally, Billy Two Cheeks decided he'd had enough.
I've acted bravely long enough. I'm going back to camp.
And it suits you better. Meanwhile, back at the Indian encampment, the elders of the tribe were performing a ritual to bring rain.
And now Geronimo runs up, reaches his mark, and bows. And Laughing Deer cuts him to square leg.
It never fails. It was then I noticed that our camp seemed strangely deserted. There was not a young brave in sight, only us old timids.
Father, I can hide it no longer.
No?
Billy Two Cheeks has gone to attack the fort. He swore he would slaughter the women and carry off the men. Or possibly I'm mixed up.
Yes, or possibly he is.
I've done it, O Chief. I've fought my first battle. I've earned the feather of a brave and an extra 2 feet of carpet in me wigwam.
Oh, silly Billy. I wanted peace and you have disobeyed my orders. You're different from us. Gather your belongings and go.
3 pale-faced scalps, 2 Navajo scalps, 1 bottle of scalp tonic, 4 pairs of moccasins, 1 pair of reelasins.
Yeah, what are you gonna do about your Indian clubs?
I should cancel my membership. And now I go.
In the months that followed, Billy Two Cheeks showed his defiance of the pale faces. He stood outside the fort and threw stones at it. Then he got a little bolder and threw that. And as chief sitting duck, I decided it was time to have a powwow with the pale-faced general. I went to Fort Smith. It was midnight and the fort was asleep. Oh, wake up, Smith. Open your southeast entrance. I want to see the general.
I'm glad you came, chief. We must stop these renegade Indians. The big white father speaks of peace, of our two peoples living in harmony. Has he not given you a load of wampum?
Yes, he has. Yes, but I'm powerless. All my braves have gone to follow Billy Two Cheeks.
I shall hunt him down. We have the finest scout in the territory, a man who invented the famous knife, which is named after him.
You mean Jim Bread?
Exactly. Lieutenant! Get the men together.
The cavalry troop rode out of the fort singing an army song. I accompanied them on my palomino. It was a little out of tune, but they didn't seem to mind. Perhaps I could prevent bloodshed. And anyway, I wanted to see this Jim Bread in action.
The Indians are that-a-way, General. I can tell by this here bent blade of grass. And this tiny scratch on the bark of the trees. And this misplaced pebble. And this big neon sign that says, to the Indians. How far ahead are they, Jim? Not very far. Nope. Not very far. This is still warm. What is? This Indian leg I'm feeling.
That's mine, you fool.
Oh! Sorry, wait. Look up there. Smoke signals. Can you read them, Chief?
Of course, yes. Puff, 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 puff. Apostrophe, puff, puff, puff. Exclamation, puff.
Well, what does it say?
Help, my blanket's caught fire. We continued cautiously along the trail. Suddenly, an arrow, cleverly portrayed by Douglas Smith, whistled by my ear. I said, arrow, Smith, not Eaton.
Oh, sorry.
We had caught the renegades unawares. They fought back.
Scalp them! Scalp them! Don't bother with sitting duck. Nature's beaten us to it. Get the others!
It was a short, sharp battle. It had to be. We were near the end of the sketch.
All right. I surrender.
Good! Cease fire, men! So you're Billy Two Cheeks. Say, you don't look like an Indian.
Well, he isn't really. He's different from us. We found him 20 years ago in a blazing log cabin.
20 years? That's when I had my baby stolen from a blazing log cabin. Tell me, Billy Two Cheeks, have you got a strawberry birthmark on your left deltoid?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, I have. That means you're my daddy.
And you're my little baby, Priscilla.
Priscilla. I said all along he was different from us. So ends this week's production. Next week we will show something that filled every seat in a West End cinema. It's a hundredweight of horsehair stuffing. All of which doesn't bring us to Rambling Sid Rumper, but he's here just the same.
Bye.
Rambling Sid.
Thank you. Very lucky indeed. Very lucky production. Hello, me dearios. Fain would I glossop among the dewy hedgerows, but I've desisted, as it tends to rust the artifacts.
Yes. Now, what air are you going to try our patience with this week?
Well, it is a gladsome ditty which people sing in the Lumarkshire Inns, providing there's a licence for singing and wordling, and it goes after this fashion cheerfully, but limply.
Some folk like to grunge, some folks do, some folks do, some folks nurk their sponge, but that's not me or you. Green are the nettles on my groat that squeak from 12 till 2, and my spung grows cold, and my nadgers are turning blue. Some folks mong their spodes, some folks do, some folks do. Some folks wring their nodes, but that's not me or you. Don't eat your posset with a stick. It tends to make you cough. Take a looming fork and wrench your nadgers off.
Well, thank you, Rambling Sid. Now, elections are cropping up all the time, but one that escaped notice was in my area. The usual parties were represented, Labour, Conservative and Liberal, but there was one party I'd never heard of before. And the slogan on their posters read, "Keep Britain Boner." And I decided to find out more about them, so I popped down to their party headquarters. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, and this is my friend Sandy.
Oh, hello!
Yes, we are the Universal Party. So cool, because we're at it right, left and centre. Yes. Shake hands with your prospective member. Shake hands. That's him.
That's me, Mr. Horn.
You, Julian?
Yes, I stand behind the working man.
And I stand behind him. Yes, he does. I stand behind Jewel. I'm his campaign manager.
Oh. He's an old campaigner, Mr.
Yeah. You don't tell no lies.
No. Now, why have you formed your own party?
That's a good question.
We couldn't see eye to eye with the other major parties. No. We left the Labour Party because we disagreed with the prescription charges.
And we fell out with the Conservatives because blue isn't our colour.
Oh,
our
colour. Makes me right washed out.
The makes him look washed out. Oh. Yes, we didn't like the colour of their favours, so then we was liberal with our favours for a while.
Oh.
Yes. Then we felt personally betrayed by the action of our liberal member.
What did he do?
I can't bring myself to say it, Mr. Horn.
Oh.
He should I tell him? He went and got married.
Oh. Don't carry on,
well,
Jewel.
I can't help it.
Jewel, pull yourself together. It's to no avail.
Disaster.
Pull yourself together. What's done is done.
Well.
Now blow your nose on your rosette.
So, then we thought they've all let us down, so it's time for a change.
Shall we change?
Yes. We formed our own party.
And what's your policy?
Well, we have a three-pronged manifesto.
We have this. No, we have. Three distinct prongs it's got.
Yes.
Yeah, show him, Jewel. Get out your manifesto.
Oh, yes. Mm. Well, our points are these.
Mm.
One, double the building programme so there's lattice for all.
Lattice for all!
Lattice for all.
Lovely. Remove the American missiles from our shores.
Oh, yes. American. Particularly that one, that, what's it called? Polari. That's
Polari, yes. Our third prong, free crow's feet cream for all. Yes.
Irrespective of race, creed or sex.
There, that's your incentive boner.
And what about old age pensions?
Don't you worry, Mr. Orndyke, we'll see you all right.
Make special provision for the over 60s.
But the smaller sizes won't be left out neither.
I think I can confidently say that I expect a huge poll.
His name's Vladimir, always pops round. Always pops round of a Wednesday evening.
Yes, old friend of Gordon's.
Gordon's his friend. To hear Jewel, got your election address?
Yes, care of the Marine Commando Club.
No, not that you're a silly prospective member.
Oh, sorry.
Your speech, you know, yes. Your palaver which you're going to sweep the hustings.
Yes.
I can't bear an unswept husting. Go on, Jewel, get on your box. Right. Not that one, dear, your soapbox.
Right. I don't like...
Go on, he's shy with crowds, Miss Drawn. Go on, imagine you're in front of a great ignorant rabble.
Shall I?
Be good practice for you when you go on the Simon D show. Now, you heckle him if you want to, Mr. Orne.
Right, thank
there,
you.
There, ready, Jewel? Ready?
Yes.
Mr. Orne, you're about to hear his maiden speech. Go on, love.
Go on.
Omies and Pallones of this borough.
That's lovely. Oh, lovely.
We are poised at a moment in history.
Love.
The future could be naff.
Now.
Or it could be Boner. The time has come for a frank and honest Varda at our awkward position.
Oh, yes, that's true.
I am questing after this seat. For the good of my fellow homies.
Yes.
Let us not mince.
Have you taken leave
of this? I haven't finished. Let us not mince words.
Oh.
Let us put our best lally forward and with our eeks shining with hope stroll together towards the fantabulosa futurette.
Bravo, Jewel! Yes. I'm right behind you. We'll go all the way with Jewel.
Well, if you are, will you drop me at Wimbledon Common? I can get a bus.
And now, let us raise our voices and sing the party song. And clear the throat. The party's flag is deep as puce, with fleur-de-lis in pale chartreuse.
Both working home and nouveau riche will find our programme very chic.
We'll do our best for young and old.
Our party line is very bold.
Let's mince together, hand in hand. We'll make Great Britain fairyland.
And he didn't get in. Apparently it wasn't a safe seat. And as the next line has been cut, all that's left for me to say is cheerio, see you next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Barry Took, Johnny Mortimer, and Brian Cook, and the producer was John Simmons.